This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 4th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Introduction to the 8th Unit. This tape is 30 minutes long, reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, now I want to tell you about the advanced clinical course that is going to happen to you. Understand, there's going to be no effort here to teach a course. We're going to make this course happen. And the production of an effect is always the favorite indoor sport of a Thetan, and as a net result, of course, you will have to allow me the liberty of making you an effect slightly as we go along here, in the interest of you making a great many people into an effect. You get the idea. And this is all in the experience that I had in 10 months of teaching advanced clinical courses. Believe me, I learned a lot about this. I learned quite a bit. I learned much more than the students, I guarantee you that. In the first place, I was trying desperately to find processes which could be taught. Not processes which work, you see. That was 1953 I was doing that. Processes that work, but now processes that could be taught which would work for an auditor. Because as soon as we did that, then we were on our way. You see why we would be? Because then an auditor could take a case with a scruff of the neck, and all of a sudden, why, a big change would have taken place in the case. But it wouldn't have mattered how smart, how clever, how far-reaching, how infinitely, particularly penetrating and understanding. It wouldn't have mattered one single bit how hot a process was if it couldn't be taught to an auditor so that he would then use it. Well, you see that? It would have meant that I could go on processing people and clearing people, and this had ceased to be a problem. This ceased to be a problem in 1952. Now, that's a long time ago. As an example of that, I went over to England and started reaching out and picking up people and processing them myself. And I was banging people out of their heads so fast that they thought the Germans had started raiding again. I mean, their buildings were creaking. It was nothing to it. All you had to do was do the right thing at the right instant, and bang, you had a Thetan exterior, and then you did the right thing again, 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 that had to be done, mostly because you just looked at them and knew what had to be done, and you had somebody exterior stabilized. Give you an example of this. This is 1952 I'm talking about, October. Give you an example of this. I took the students who were in the first unit there in London, and I took one afternoon and evening and exteriorized the whole class. But what do you know? I had people there who I exteriorized, you see, and didn't stabilize or anything of the sort. I just bang them out of their heads, you see, to show them that this is kind of how you went about it, and went on to the next one, taking 10 or 15 minutes per student. And what do you know? I audited them 30 days later after a great deal of class auditing and found them exactly the same state they were in the day I had processed them. 60 days after that, I ran a check on this whole class, one after the other, and found them in the same state that I had left them in the second period of auditing. Now, what had happened? This, by the way, is disheartening. This taught us that I could exteriorize and process people, that I wasn't teaching other people to do it very well. That's a very, very critical sort of an observation. But the person being criticized was myself, very definitely. This information was not sufficiently codified. The essential elements were not being relayed in such a way as to make the processes workable for an auditor. And therefore, you saw Scientology and Dianetics dragging their heels throughout this country. Dragging their heels badly, dragging their heels in England. Well, I thought I had it for a while, to an extent, in 1954, early 1954, opened up a clinic in London. And some of the best auditors over there were in that clinic. And what happened? Oh, a tremendously interesting thing happened. They solved all the easy cases, and all the tough ones complained. And so we closed the London clinic. Bang. We sent somebody who had been in here through the most trying times of these clinical courses and who knew his business and we sent him over to teach an advanced clinical course exactly along the lines that the 7th unit was taught here. And when he taught that course in London, and at the end of 2 weeks, by co-auditing, he had everybody in the unit exteriorized. This wasn't him auditing them, you see. This was just everybody in the unit, by co-auditing, exteriorized. As a matter of fact, I have a bulletin from him. Right now, I ask him, what in the name of common sense did this? This would be of interest to you. Now, it says, Dear Ron, the processes which exteriorized the class were 1-1. He meant R-1-1. R-1-2, R-1-3, R-2-16 to 22. The holdouts, he says, were run and exteriorized on the specific technique, give me something which could occupy the same space as you're occupying. Now, to do this was a triumph, very definitely. And I just sent up a boy for your benefit, and he didn't know this, that it was for the clinical course benefits, to the center of the Bible Belt of the United States, which is the Middle West, to process somebody who has had some of the more interesting ideas and to train them. By the way, the only reason this person was trained outside the precincts of the HASI to the level of DSCN is because this person had registered in and had partially completed an early advanced clinical course, which made it possible for us to complete the training of this individual. But this individual was a fairly rough case, and had not done too well with processing, and at the end of 3 weeks, this person was doing wonders. And we were satisfied to hand over a DSCN to this person. Now, all due respect to the fact that there might have been other factors which occasioned this, such as the factors of affection and wanting to be of help and so forth, I specifically wanted to know whether or not we could send somebody out of here to some vast distance and not have him even conduct a clinical course and still bring somebody up to a point where we would not even vaguely be ashamed to certify this person. And we can do that now. Well, now you're not going to get the benefit of all this. You're going to get the brunt of all this. That's a big difference. Give you the exact outline of this course. In 2 weeks, we are going to teach you a 2 months HCA course. We're going to do that in 2 weeks. Taking you through the primary processes. Now you say, well, we know all about these primary processes. We know all about this and piff-paff. I mean, oh, do you? Let's just make awfully sure in these first 2 weeks that you do know these primary processes. This is no insult to your processing, you understand. This is no insult to your certificate, since everybody here has a certificate. But it definitely says this. In the old days, they used to learn how to fly airplanes by walking out to the field, and if its motor was running, and they often even went so far as to check the flying wires and to see whether or not the gas petcock was turned on so that the motor would continue to operate after the plane came off the ground. Of course, that was only advanced students that did that. And the fellow got into the plane and went racing down the field. One of the early birdmen told me one time that whenever they flew any of the early Wright planes and so on, they had an ambulance run along below them. Those planes stayed in the air for a minute and a half. But they learned how to fly in this fashion. There was no such thing as dual control. And a lot of these boys later on could be found in the Army and in the airmail and other places. And you could always somehow or other tell that this person had learned in that fashion. He flew with his left wing slightly low. He skidded slightly on his banks. When he was landing, he would often come in with a rush which avowed his intention to attack all the telegraph poles at the edge of the field. Even today, the definition of a flying field, you know, is an area of land surrounded completely by high-tension wires. And these boys would become fascinated with these things and twirl their wheels on them, and they would not do a completely smooth job of flying. Why? They had learned with an error. And because planes would fly, they had gotten by time after time with this little error. See? I mean, just it wasn't grudge. It was enough to throw them into the power lines once in a while and do things like that. But it wasn't completely detectable. So that's why we're taking these first 2 weeks and doing what we're going to do with these first 2 weeks. You see that? We're just going to make sure that you've got all these basic applications down absolutely smooth. Just completely smooth. Because, oddly enough, there's a precision way to do them. All right. We're going to take a 2 month course in the first 2 weeks of this course. If anybody cares to faint, go ahead. But the boys feel a little bit rushed in this 2 month course that we are teaching here at HCA level. They feel a little bit rushed. So if they feel a little bit rushed covering the same material in 2 months, why, please feel at liberty to feel rushed by covering it in 2 weeks. Now, what we expect from an HCA or an HDA is simply this. We expect this person to be able to conduct a two-way communication, to use the most basic straight wire there is, something you wouldn't mind remembering, something you wouldn't mind forgetting. That is to use it smoothly so that the pre-clear knows he's being processed. It sounds awfully elementary, but you would be surprised how many auditors omit these two steps, a two-way communication with the pre-clear and how to administer straight wire. Just make sure that he knows to do those things, and then he knows precisely how to do opening procedure of 8C, which is R216. He should be able to know also opening procedure by duplication. He should be able to know how to spot spots in space and remedy havingness. That's all we expect an HCA to know. I've given it to you. Do we expect them to know any theory? No. That's too much to hope for. All due respect to these people, it's just too much to hope for. That's our experience talking. That's my experience talking. Well, somebody's got to know theory around here. Somebody's got to know the various ins and outs and wide applications of Scientology, and that's you. So we're going to take up 4 weeks of that. But more precisely than that, let's divide those 4 weeks. First 2 weeks, we're going to get these basic processes down so we're completely smooth with these processes. And so there's no question in our minds whatsoever about these processes. You see that? Then, all during this time, as we move forward, we're going to take a review of basic theory in addition to getting through these processes. And we're just taking a review of basic theory for these first 2 weeks, too, just in case you haven't got enough to do. And we also expect in these first 2 weeks to get your cases all up top. And then we're going to take 1 week, after these two are over, of highly specialized, concentrated, individual review and inspection of what you know on the subject of Scientology and Dianetics. You better know both, by the way. And just make absolutely sure, on a highly personalized basis, that you know exactly where you're going. You know, there's one thing that a lot of auditors have never learned. Psychology is a speculative science. So is nuclear physics a speculative science. So is chemistry. But chemistry and nuclear physics are less a speculative science than psychology. Psychology has this enormous tradition of speculation. The only reason I would ever stoop to the field of investigation at all is because there's a job to be done and we needed the processes. Dianetics was never a speculative science. It did exactly what it said it was doing, and it had very specific axioms, and a great many people in the field of Dianetics don't know that. The axioms are inside the cover of Book 1. And when they're used and very nicely applied and so forth, you can achieve some very, very astonishing results. It is a mental therapy. It's the field of the human mind. Scientology is not the field of the human mind. Scientology is the overall science, which also includes the human mind. See that? Dianetics is a mental therapy which specializes in the human mind. It even means through mind. But if you will read page 401 of Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, you will discover on that page Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. And Plan C is Scientology. I invite you to look at that page. By the way, you will be surprised because so much looks so random. And it's not very random. Page 401, Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, tells you all about Scientology. And Chapter 2 of Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, describes only one thing. A thetan exterior stable. And that's a clear. In Book 1. So let's not feel that we have wandered too far afield. I learned early that people could not face no havingness. People as individuals could not face no havingness, which is to say, to be exteriorized. You get most people just the idea of being out there a nothing in nothingness, and they say, irk. You know, they just fight right off from it. They'll try to put God out there, or they'll try to put something out there, but not themselves, certainly, because it would mean too great a loss of havingness, wouldn't it? We're trying to reach man. Well, man eats very readily from the vines of Dianetics, because it simply says you've got a mind. You know, that's a somethingness. And it has engrams in it. Those are somethingnesses, aren't they? And it does this, and it does that, and it behaves in this fashion. All beautiful somethingnesses. And if you can get a guy to run engrams, it'll pull havingness in on him. Makes him feel good. More somethingness. Get the idea? So, of course, it's a mental therapy. Therefore, you have to be prepared, as a doctor of Scientology, to adequately bridge this gap between the avidity of people for having something and the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is nothing. You can't make the world at large look at nothing. But they'll look at something, and they'll be happy to do so. So you see where we've been going? Now, we look at Scientology as the overall science and modus operandi of life, and we don't care whether that life is a thetan running a robot on planet 62 of universe 81X. See? Principles of Scientology will work. Principles of Dianetics do not necessarily work, but they work here on Earth amongst men. You see that? So there's the essential difference between these two things. So if you're going to study to be a DSCN, you will be expected to know the modus operandi of life itself in any planet, in any universe, in any life form, or in any activity of life. Dianetics is the subject of how to make people better off and how to make them well, and it has certain very definite goals which are very acceptable to man, and Scientology, if you please, could vanish the universe. So it's the overall science from which we could take a great many other sciences. The first science, by the way, 1932, was Scientology. And it was Scientology still in 1938 when it was first really named. And then it was Scientology some more in 1947. And then all of a sudden it became Dianetics. Why did it become Dianetics? I had to write on the subject for the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association, and I was foolish enough to write for them because I thought they could read. And I wrote a little booklet, which you can have a copy of, and which in your book kit you will find a copy of, which is Scientology, a New Science. Actually, when it was released generally and so forth, it was called Abnormal Dianetics. And that is the first copyright on the word Dianetics, all other arguments to the contrary. It went through and became intensely popular. Well, why hadn't it become popular earlier? Well, in the first place, I was not talking very much. I was writing fiction and doing my researches paid for by that fiction. I was not publishing to any great extent. But I had already learned that when I told people that life was a unit which created things, but which itself did not have any mass or existence, I hadn't stated it adequately at that time, they just sort of got awfully disinterested somehow or other, if not actually ill. Now, where does that leave us? That leaves us with the necessity of having not only a command of life, itself, but what life is interested in. We must have a command of that. If we're going to process men, then we have to be able to talk to men about their minds. We also have to be able to talk to men about their souls, since this, again, is a somethingness. Most people's idea of a soul is, I don't know, some kind of a ghost or a mass of something or other. There's been no comprehension of this. So in this course, we have to master this bridge, the reason for this bridge, and so on, and we have to know all of the rationale and reasons why and demonstrate it. So this third week, we're simply going to take a good, solid review of Dianetics theory of, Scientology theory of, you understand? I'm going to give you that myself real heavy. But then we're going to get into the third week. Now, I have so arranged it that we may be able to get some pre-clears in here by simply staggering advanced clinical course enrollments. May I get some pre-clears for you? If we don't get them in that way, we'll get them in some other way. But you have a project to carry out in those remaining 3 weeks, which will teach you the rest of what you have to know, I am sure. And this project is called research auditing. Because I found out the very best auditors and the very best auditing discipline there is research auditing. You simply use the process. And whatever happens, you go on using the process. And you notice what happens. The auditor's handbook, not to be confused with the auditor's manual, which is a book of Dianetics. The auditor's handbook, Scientology, the auditor's handbook with intensive procedure, happens to be the mimeocopy. Well, the other copy is the printed copy. And it has over three times, if not four times or five times, as much material in it as the little mimeo edition. Now, I'm sure you have the mimeo edition in your books that have been handed to you, or you will have. The printed edition of this is your meat. This printed edition is quite important. It has 60 processes in it. And in the period of 3 weeks, I'll expect each one of you to test and know each one of these processes. Now, that's all you've got to learn. I've given you an outline. I've tried to take it easy on you and not impress you too much or make you feel tired with it. I don't want to discourage you, because the fact of the matter is that you can get discouraged enough about other things, but the most discouraged you will ever get is sitting over a pre-clear's red-hot brain and not getting any result. And that's the worst thing that could happen to any auditor. Once an auditor recognizes that he has authority and control over the minds of his pre-clears and human beings, he doesn't even vaguely think in terms of re-stimulation or needing processing. That I guarantee. You see that? If you know absolutely by your own experience that you can change the mental outlook of human beings, you're not going to worry about them restimulating you. The answer to this is under a process known as authority, pan-determinism, other such factors as that. But an auditor only gets restimulated when he himself cannot get results. So it's our job to demonstrate to you that you can get results, but you, at some time or another, we'll find it absolutely necessary to take some pre-clear, some HCA has had hung up on him. The pre-clear hung up, not because opening procedure of HC doesn't work, not because opening procedure by duplication doesn't work, not because these other processes don't work. It's hung up because he ran them in some peculiar fashion, which didn't pay any attention to. The fellow got divorce papers served on him that morning, and so the auditor audited the fellow at 11 o'clock that night. And the fellow said, you know, I feel awfully sad, and I'm somewhat tired now. Can't we do something or other? And no, we've got to go on with this session. And, you know, I had some bad luck today. Well, we're not going to pay any attention to that. Find a spot on that wall. Well, you'll be called on straight person out. And also, to explain to this HCA why and what for and the ins and outs of the business. Now, I want to give you just a little rundown on what you're walking into. It's too late for you to leave. I mean, enrolled. You know, it's quite customary for somebody to say, well, if you don't like this, you're here on your self-determinism and all that sort of thing, and you don't like this, why, it's volunteer, you know, and you can leave and so forth. We don't do that around here. You're in, you're done. So we just close the gates right at that point, because I'll expect each one of you to qualify to train in Dianetics or Scientology to any level. Expect each one of you to do that. Expect you to be able to run in another area than Phoenix a mock-up similar to, be the workable form of, the mock-up which is now going forward with the Church of Scientology in Phoenix. Expect each one of you to be able to run independently and all by yourself such a mock-up. It's quite a mock-up, by the way. It takes into consideration the fact that a fellow has to have money to eat in this society if he expects a body to keep running, that an organization itself has to carry forward along a very agreeable line in an area that pre-clears have to be procured, and that HCAs have to be made in order to carry the progress into the society. You'll have to know something about the church, in other words, you'll have to know something about this whole mock-up. Well, this class will see this mock-up in operation and will see it in process of variation and so forth as we experiment with it to get it into its optimum state. You will see that happening. We'll expect you to be able to run one of these things. Now, this is only going to require of you 28 hours a day. And I think that's reasonable, isn't it? Perfectly reasonable. It's only going to require 28 hours a day. First 2 weeks, you've got to get down all your basic processes. You've got to review, and unfortunately, although in advanced clinical courses, we have long had the rule of no tapes, there happens to be, for this unit only, a new set of tapes in existence which have just been codified, and you will have to hear them, otherwise you're going to be adrift, because you will be teaching from these tapes. So you better see how they're taught over a period of 2 months in 2 weeks. See that? So you'll have to give a listen at these tapes. That's unfortunate, but that merely applies to this unit. All right. The main stress with you right now is nothing but this, is simply to take up rapid fire 6 days a week for these 2 weeks, the material necessary to bring you completely up to date on the basic processes in the field of HCA and iron out any possible quirk or misunderstanding you have of these. Review at the same time all of the basic theory of Scientology. In the third week, you haven't got to worry about that now, have you? I'm going to give you a basic review of all this and straighten you out individually. I won't see an awful lot of this unit until we enter that third week, and then I'm going to see an awful lot of this unit. And then for the remaining 3 weeks, as I said, we are simply going to go right down the list and learn all there is to know about 60 processes. That's a lot of processes, isn't it? But you've already learned a lot of those already. You know a great deal about it. We're going to do some research auditing because you are going to codify an evaluation of these processes as to which one you consider work best. And we will print that in the journal as a codification by this class as to which were the most workable processes in this rack-up. That means an awful lot of hours of auditing, doesn't it? Terrible. Well, I really feel for you. And I'm sure that there will be very few surviving this particular sprint, because it's utterly impossible for anybody to assimilate and know by heart 50 axioms in 3 weeks. It's utterly impossible for anything like that to occur, but it's going to occur, and now that we have all agreed that it's going to occur, I wish to thank you very much for coming over here this afternoon.